How's it going, everybody? Welcome all into another episode of the unofficial WCC Hoops podcast. I'm Zach Farmer, and we have a lot to get into. It was a busy couple of weeks. We have a massive name that hit the transfer portal. Many of you already know who I'm going to be talking about, so we'll get into that in a little bit. LMU making some massive moves as well, hitting the transfer portal hard, as well as also taking advantage of the spring recruiting season as well. The return of a familiar face to Santa Clara, Carlos Stewart, has returned, and we'll get into what his return could mean for the Broncos as well. And USF has already started to kind of build the beginnings of what is looking like a pretty strong non-conference schedule. We'll get into all of those things. Before we get any further, be sure to hit the subscribe button and follow on social media at Post by Zach. And now also on Instagram, the official account for the podcast, Unofficial WCC Pod. And we're going to start with, I think, the obvious one, the blockbuster transfer portal hit that happened just about a week ago, and that was Aiden Mahaney entering the transfer portal, leaving St. Mary's after two seasons. He was the Gales' leading scorer this past year at 13.9 a game. We know all of the big moments that he has been a part of, how incredibly important he has been to St. Mary's' success over the last two seasons. We know this is a hit. And there's no way to kind of overlook that, especially when you then think about that Josh Jefferson left. And then you had associate head coach Justin Joyner head to Michigan. And now Aiden Mahaney is looking for a new home as well. And this is going to be a situation for St. Mary's of like, it took me a few days to kind of figure out, not necessarily a few days to figure this part out, but the wrapping my head around of what is next for St. Mary's. Where do you go from here? And the more I thought about it, the more I was looking into what St. Mary's was going to have come back, the conversations that were going to be had, the more it actually set in. It's that, honestly, in my opinion, this team's going to be just fine. And I know that for a good number of people, that sounds kind of crazy to think that this team is going to be okay. And I think they're going to be even okay with the guys that are remaining on the roster, because there's a lot here. It's not like the cupboard was bare, especially at the guard position. This team was already kind of overstocked and really had the ability to mix and match with a lot of different matchups and a lot of different faces that were going to play, I think, bigger roles going into the year anyway. But now they were going to be thrust into these roles maybe a little sooner than had been previously anticipated. And I think about the names of like Jordan Ross. Jordan Ross was a really, like, he didn't get to play a ton in this past season, but as a true freshman, you saw the glimpses of what he could be. He is a pass first point guard, and we have seen over the years and years past what St. Mary's is capable of doing, what Randy Bennett is capable of doing when he has two point guards kind of running the show from the backcourt. We've seen the Joe Rahon, Emmett Narr combinations. We've seen the Matthew Dellavedova, Mickey McConnell combination. We've seen throughout the course of the Randy Bennett era multiple times when he's had two true point guards in the backcourt. And I think we're going to see more and more of that this coming year now with the Mahaney news having broken and now immediately needing to see that. And Jordan Ross, I mean, I think about the NCAA tournament game this past year against Grand Canyon. The bright spot of that game to me was Jordan Ross and his ability to kind of like to really attack the basket, make plays for others. And he showed no, absolutely no fear in that game, where in a game and against an opponent that seemed to athletically overwhelm St. Mary's at times, that was not the case for Jordan Ross. He seemed to be comfortable in that scenario. He seemed to almost thrive in that environment. And that was really great to see. And then even think about even further back, how he was instrumental and critical in the UNLV game that they ended up winning in overtime. Again, like, this is a kid who just does not seem to be afraid of the moment, and he's going to get plenty of opportunity, I would think, going into this coming year, especially now with that second guard spot being kind of up for grabs at this point. Another one of the names that, like, I mean, Rory Hawk, I think, is going to fall into that as well. Rory Hawk is another name that you saw glimpses of it last year before he went down with the injury, of what he might be. And this is another guy who has a lot of upside. There was a lot there. The St. Mary's camp has talked a lot about, like, what he could be. And, like, he's going to be more of that scoring two guard. And he's a little bit more kind of fit for the size of to being like a traditional two. And I think I kind of threw out of, like, hey, it's like he might be the starting three. Like, I think it would be kind of like an interesting scenario where you go maybe three guard as opposed to having the traditional two guard, two forward in a center. I thought there was maybe the opportunity to actually utilize three guards with him being that third. This was all assuming that Aiden Mahaney was coming back. So I think he's another great option. I think this opens the door a little bit more for Mikey Lewis to make an immediate impact. Mikey Lewis coming in as one of the best players recruiting rating wise that Randy Bennett's ever had, and he is going to be a fascinating case study early on to see how quickly he can adapt to Randy Bennett's system, how quickly he can kind of find his role. And obviously, like, really, it's kind of get up to speed on the defensive end, because we know that that's going to be still an emphasis for this squad. But this is someone who can give you buckets. And that is something that Aiden Mahaney gave you. It's something that you do need to fill in somehow. And Mikey Lewis feels like he's going to be one of those guys to be able to do it. He might have to come off the bench to do that early on. But I'm really, to an extent, this actually kind of opens up a lot of possibilities for this squad. And I'm actually kind of excited to see more of them get a shot. Because we may not have seen this for a couple of years, and I was a little bit more excited to kind of see the Mikey Lewis's, the Jordan Ross's really start to kind of get going. And this is obviously not somewhere you wanted to be. You totally expected Aiden Mahaney to be back, especially the lateness of in which he made that announcement. It really kind of, like, adds an extra sting to what happened. And this is the thing. And I was thinking about this a little bit more and more. And again, like, to the point of, like, well, he's to the point of, like, this is a guy who was your leading scorer. He obviously was great in a number of moments, especially against Gonzaga. But I remember there were so many times, so often, that he vanished in games, and especially early on. Well, so did everybody early on for St. Mary's. But there were a number of times you looked around and went, where did he go? Thinking about the 5-for-21 against Grand Canyon, 3-for-20 against UNLV. He was very hot and cold in that second year. And I think many people watching this season would agree that you didn't see that maybe next step. Was it hitting the sophomore wall? Definitely in that first year, it looked like he kind of started to run out of gas in his freshman campaign. And then this year, it looked like maybe some of the adjustments hadn't been made quite yet. And we still got to see some great performances from him. He still had 25 in what was essentially the season opener against New Mexico. He had 22 against Utah. He averaged almost 20 points a game against Gonzaga in the three contests that they saw each other. But against the better opponents, we saw teams make adjustments to him and be a little bit more physical with him and make him a volume shooter. Just looking at the numbers, not thinking about gameplay or anything else, in the non-conference against top 100 teams, which is 8 games, so this is not necessarily a small sample size, he shot 31% from the field against those teams, 26% from three. So this was San Diego State, Colorado State, Boise, Utah, Grand Canyon, Xavier, UNLV. It's like these teams gave him fits. These teams really made it harder on Mahaney. And a lot of that pressure was put onto him, especially early on, because nobody else was scoring. And so you do have to take that into account as well. But teams found ways to make it difficult, and St. Mary's did not have necessarily another option at that point, or a lot of cases throughout the course of the season. Going into next season, it does feel like St. Mary's has more options than they will have had last year, with the combinations of Hawk and Ross and Lewis, and actually even Dent, who's going to be coming in from Australia. So you have a slew of guards who are, I think, going to play a factor in what that 2-3 role is going to look like going into this coming season, going into next season. Is it a blow? Of course it is. Does it maybe shift where you think St. Mary's is going to be going into next year? I don't necessarily think it does, because I think that and maybe this sounds a little bit crazy, I think that he is the easier player to replace than Josh Jefferson. And that, to me, is the bigger question mark. That is still like the one where it's like, how do you replace someone who is dynamic as he was? And one thing that St. Mary's did do over the last week is they at least have started to fill some of that gap. And they ended up picking up Paulius Maruskas from Arizona. He will be a sophomore coming in to this coming year. Did not play all too much for Arizona last year, kind of minimal minutes. But what we did see from him was actually a pretty good turnout of what he was in Lithuania, where he's coming from. He is a countryman of Augustus Marcellonis. He's going to be able to kind of fill into minutes in the three or the four. He's going to give them a dynamic that is going to be a bit different than the Josh Jefferson dynamic. I think you're going to see a little bit more, again, 3-4 hybrid, which is similar to what maybe Josh Jefferson was starting to turn into. But this is a guy who I think who's going to be able to step in immediately and help St. Mary's. So early on, St. Mary's has started to make some sort of moves and start to replace some of these. They have a couple of scholarship spots still open, so there is still opportunity to get something going over the next few weeks until the portal does close. So a little bit of time, and there are still plenty of names, obviously, out there. St. Mary's has been linked to a few more names. So they have been linked to some of the Duke transfers. They have been linked to a few other names as well. So still a ways to go, still thinking about what this is going to look like. The big blow to St. Mary's is that they do lose Aiden Mahaney, but they do at least pick up some of the gap with Paulius Maruskas coming over from Arizona to team up with his countryman, Augustus Marcellonis. But St. Mary's hasn't been the only team that's been busy in the last week or so. Actually, the team maybe the busiest has been LMU, and they have made some significant moves. I believe last time I talked briefly about just the addition of Jan Vide, the 6'6 guard transfer from UCLA. His tape, he looks really good on tape. Can shoot at all levels, good body control. Didn't play much for the Bruins this past year, but in the U19 World Cup, FIBA World Cup, he averaged 17.9 points a game, which was third among all scorers. He was the MVP of the Adidas Next Generation tournament with 19 points a game, 4.8 rebounds, 3.6 assists. Incoming sophomore, this is a guy that is going to, I think, instantly impact what LMU is going to do. He didn't have to go far. This is a player who is going to give them a dynamic I don't think they've had in a while, because they've had some pretty small backcourts. This immediately gives them some legitimate NBA two guard size. And I think this is a move that makes a ton of sense for the squad, and gives them a ball handler and a playmaker that they really haven't had in a long, long time. Because I think that was one of the critiques you could have made of LMU over the last X number of years, that they haven't had that point guard, not in a while anyway. And while he might be a little oversized as being a playmaker, he is going to be someone that they are going to be able to use immediately. And then just over the weekend, another big one that was named, MJ Amy Jr. will be joining the Lions as well. 6'2 guard from San Jose State. He has 1 year left of eligibility, but this is a guy who is going to light it up on the scoreboard. 15.7 points per game last year, 5.1 rebounds, 3.1 assists, 36% from 3-point range. And this is a player who played in a league where he was tested a lot last year. And the Mountain West had 6 NCAA tournament teams. And against those teams, in the 11 games where he played NCAA tournament squads, he averaged 18 points a game, shot 43% from the field, 37% from three. So just a tick above all of his season averages when he played against those squads. So you can see that he has the ability to rise to the occasion. He has the physicality that you'd want in this role. They immediately filled a backcourt in the last week and a half. So LMU is in a good spot right now. LMU's done a lot of work. They also added Matard Chope from he's transferred from Nebraska, 6'10 forward. He also another incoming sophomore from Senegal. He spent 2 years at the NBA Academy in Africa. Spent 1 year in the United States playing high school ball, 13 points, 13 rebound, average 11 double doubles. Stan Johnson was quoted in saying, like, he noted his motor, his physicality, his athleticism. They need some size. This LMU team did try to go out and get that last year. They had that with Lars Thiemann. Like, they went out and found some legitimate size, but they need to refine that still in the transfer portal. Still a little few different holes that they need to fill. And the Lorenzo Romar recruitment train has already yielded immediate dividends, as they have two Pepperdine original commits who have now recommitted to LMU to follow Romar to LA. Jael Martin, 6'8 forward from Carlsbad. He was 24/7 Sports had him as like the 22nd best recruit in California. And then Marley Zeller, 6'5 guard, who was the Mount Hood Conference Player of the Year, led Central Catholic High School to a state title in Oregon, 15 points, 44% from three on the season. So immediately LMU is starting to really kind of like up their recruiting game, and which I think kind of saw that coming with Lorenzo Romar making the shift from Malibu to LA to join LMU. And this, a lot of holes still to fill, a lot of work still left to do, because this was a squad that wasn't hit by the transfer portal incredibly hard, but in key spots. Michael Graham hit the portal. You had Justin Wright hit the portal. So you have specific spots that they needed to fill, that they needed to kind of rebound from. Kelly Laupepe also actually running out of eligibility, and he's now he signed a pro contract in Australia. So you had a lot of spots to fill, and so far, I think LMU has done a great, great job of trying to catch back up to where they were and to kind of keep pace with everybody else in the WCC, because some teams did really well on retaining guys. Others have kind of flipped the switch and been able to be a little bit more successful in the portal. So this has been a great couple of weeks for LMU. A lot of work still to do, but they're in a good spot. Lions are looking pretty good at the moment, with still a few weeks left to go to pick guys up and close out the portal strong. And of the portal, I mean, the guy that was also the shocker who came in just before the Aiden Mahaney news, day before the Aiden Mahaney news, was a shot in the arm for Santa Clara. Carlos Stewart announced his return to the Broncos. After a year at LSU where he averaged 5 points a game, the former All-WCC first-teamer returned to the South Bay. And this is a big, big deal because to me, it feels like that they just got back maybe an early candidate for WCC Player of the Year next year, because Carlos Stewart was already on that trajectory when he left. He was averaging 15 points a game. He was shooting 40% from three as a sophomore. He looked like he was going to be that next big star for the Broncos and in the WCC. And when he left, it definitely took a lot out of it. They had to rebuild the entire starting five, which obviously they did a really good job of doing this past year. But now you get to reinsert him into what they were doing. He's not going to need a whole lot of time to catch back up into the system. He knows it well. He's going to have to learn about his new teammates and all of that. But with the players that Santa Clara does have coming back, with the players that they will be returning, Christoph Tilley, Brenton Napper, Tyree Bryan, Johnny O'Neill, Jake Emzinger, Cam Tongue, they have a lot of guys who were major contributors a year ago who are going to be back, who should be a year better. And it's about tightening up the mistakes that they made. Like, this was a team that way too often had high, high turnover numbers. And for a team that was probably way more talented than those turnovers would have led you to believe. And they had a hard time coming back in a lot of games. So getting another guy who is an instant offensive player back is a critical part to that. And now I think right now, to me, this move puts Santa Clara back into the outside of the outside, because I don't think that they're with the team coming back as it is with Carlos Stewart, that maybe they're not quite at that high-end NCAA tournament bubble. But if Adama Ball returns, and then your backcourt is Carlos Stewart and Adama Ball, along with the returning crew as well, this squad starts to, on paper, looks really strong. And I think I would easily start to say that they should be in the NCAA tournament bubble picture. They should be in that conversation. Obviously, they've got to get the right wins. They've got to avoid the bad losses, all of that, because we know how difficult it would be to try to end up at the top of the conference, because you're trying to scale not just one team, but two teams. Possibly three teams if you want to throw USF in there. But this Santa Clara team, with Carlos Stewart, with the guys that they have coming back, if Adama Ball also returns, this team has a legitimate shot to get back to the NCAA tournament and honestly do damage in that tournament. We saw what they were capable of doing in the season this past year. We saw them beat Oregon. We saw them beat Gonzaga. We saw them beat Washington State. They beat tournament teams. They beat three tournament teams this past year. Can they do it and without the losses that they shouldn't have? That is the key, but the talent is there. Now it's just a matter of putting it all together. All right, and to wrap this up a little bit, USF. USF has actually done, over the last few years, between Todd Golden, Kyle Smith, and also Chris Gerlofson, have done a really good job of scheduling. We know Santa Clara has done a good job. St. Mary's has done a good job over the last few years. Gonzaga, that's kind of their MO. LMU still, I think, is getting there. I think this year is going to be a big year because it looks like talent might be there now. Let's piece in the games that are going to get you to that next level. USF is back at it, and a couple of big ones that were announced in the last couple of weeks. One was that they will be playing Memphis early on in the non-conference at Chase Center. They are going to be playing in the Maui. So this will be an early test, probably, as this game will likely be scheduled on their way to the Maui Invitational, which is usually Thanksgiving week. So start to look for like maybe a mid November matchup with the Tigers. And then also, the Dons will be heading to Daytona Beach for the Sunshine Slam, and they will be in that tournament with Penn State, Clemson, and Fordham. And Clemson in the NCAA tournament this past year, Penn State is always going to be in that conversation. This is a solid tournament to be in. No matchups as of yet, but something to look out for. Something that this is probably, I'd have to take a look at the dates again, but this is probably going to be somewhere in December, probably around Christmas, one of those tournaments. And then also you have return games for Boise, and they will be coming to the Hilltop, and then they'll be hitting the road to be at Minnesota as well. So the start of a really good non-conference schedule, the start of what could be a tournament caliber schedule. Coach Gerlofson has done a really good job of putting it together the last few years. They had the opportunities last year. They couldn't cash in on the ones that they had. They're going to get more shots this year. They're going to be right there. This is a team that has won 20 games or more. What is it now? Seven of the last eight, eight of the last nine, something like that. They're consistent at getting to that number. Can they get over the hump and get back to the NCAA tournament for the first time since 21? And USF is one of the teams that, for the most part, has kept the pieces together. Yes, Mike Sharaf-Jams did enter the transfer portal. That's maybe the one piece that there's still a question mark about. A couple of other minor pieces also entered the portal, but really the core of this squad is back. So USF has an opportunity to add here or there, but the core of what they had a year ago will be returning, which is great. I do think they need a little bit more, a little bit extra going into next year if they're going to be a tournament team. They're a good team. They're a very good team. But to get to that next level, it feels like that they need a little extra juice. And to wrap it up, a couple of smaller notes. Not going to leave Pepperdine or Portland out of this one. So one big one, Pepperdine was able to pick up a transfer from Wake Forest, Aaron Clark. This will also be another incoming sophomore. He was a top 100 recruit according to ESPN. So this was the first recruit incoming for new head coach Ed Schilling. So great start to what Pepperdine is going to be doing. a lot of work still to be done on that Pepperdine roster. I think it was 9 exits from the program from a year ago. So a long way to go to rebuild that. And then kind of a Portland did sign a few players just in the last day or so. So we'll get it. I'll start to dig into those a little bit more. But the big one was the exit of Tyler Harris into the portal just over the weekend. That is a big blow. That's a guy that I know I was excited to watch. He'll do really well wherever he ends up. But that is a blow for the Pilots, and kind of sad to see a really, really good player not be back in the WCC. Well, who knows? Maybe he will be back in the WCC. We have seen a fair number of interconference transfers over the last couple of years, so we'll see. Maybe he will find a new home somewhere in the WCC. We've seen, obviously, Dom Harris go to LMU a year ago from Gonzaga. We've now seen Michael Ajayi go from Pepperdine to Gonzaga. So we have a few examples of guys staying within the conference. And it'll just be a matter of time to see who, once all of this crazy dust settles, who is where and what are these rosters looking like. And so, to recap, LMU's done a really good job. St. Mary's is trying to replace Aiden Mahaney. Santa Clara getting Carlos Stewart back. Big, big move for the Broncos. All right. Well, that'll do it for this episode of the unofficial WCC Hoops podcast. Be sure to subscribe on YouTube and on your favorite streaming platform. And then also follow the podcast on Twitter and Instagram. Unofficial WCC pod. All right, well, that'll do it. Thanks for watching, everybody, and I will catch you later.